I know this meeting conflicts with the inclusive excellence sessions that were online yesterday and today in person. So our attendance might be a little low. So I think that's just important for us to know. We're going to wait just another minute before, Marcy, we send it to you for roll call. For those EA members, if you could just put EA in the front of your name, please. Please, and I'm trying to do the same. Okay, well, here's Kate. She's coming on. Marcy, why don't you, well, I'm going to call us to order. It is 12:18 on, my God, April 19th. Where did April go? I don't know. It's gone, almost. So thank you all for coming. As we'd indicated that we are conflicting with the Inclusive Excellence conference that's happening today. So if we could have Marcy, could you do roll call for us, please?
Yep, can do. Darren Borders, Marcus Brooks, Justin Chandler, Stacy Coyle, Carla Cornell, Jackie Creaky. I see.
I'm here.
Yep. Matthew Davis, Bethany Dixon, Adrian Durant, Brenda Fisher, Andrea is here. Deb Howell, Ellie Crum.
I'm here.
Jeremy Cruiser, Michelle Leparco, Christy Mahoney, Alan Mittman, Alina O'Connor, Kevin Phipps.
Here.
Okay, thanks. Stephanie Razu. Anish Shaft.
I'm here.
Kate Supran.
I'm here.
Pitt Tannenbaum.
Here.
Wendy Treat.
Here.
And Lisa Zacharias. We do not have quorum.
Thank you. We do not have quorum. So let's jump in. The land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono, the Cuyahoga Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. So we've had to switch things around a little bit. I think people have seen the agenda. The one that I'm looking at right now, we are adjusting it a little bit. We have, but looking at this, we do have Sarah Carsons from the campus sustainability office that will be joining us, but she was not available to come until 1 p.m. So we will get all of the business of the day and committee reports completed before she's able to join us. So the first item on our agenda is Anise talking about our elections update. Anise?
Great, thank you. Excuse me. Let me pull up my notes. So good news, there were no uncontested seats. So based on the discussion we had last time and the fact that as chair, I can make this decision. I unilaterally decided that we would have no election, although I think I checked with Andrea. I think she confirmed it. We didn't need to, right? So a number of our new members dropped in. We still held the open house. Not really an open house. That's when the open meeting on the Monday after campaigning starts, where we talk about campaigning. But I just used it as a meet and greet time, and Wendy showed up too, and it was nice, and we met a couple of people who are eager to work with us, so that was great. So at the next meeting, the organizational meeting, it would be nice to add a welcome to the new members to the agenda. Oh, two retirees were still waiting to be announced. Michelle Artaby said that that'll happen sometime in May. That's still, it's in alignment with the election process, and that's sort of the timing that they use to drive their appointment. So we'll just, there's no reason to do it differently. So we filled 10 out of the 21 open seats, which is almost half, which is great. I was pleased to see that we backfilled 4 of the tough-to-fill seats that had remained open for years. And I think that's it. I can read out loud like the seats that are filled if people want to know that.
Or could you share your screen that has that?
Is that allowed for minute purposes? It is. Is it? Okay.
Well, we'd have to read them. You'd have to read them.
I think you have to hear it, right? So I can do both for visual and... Oh, I'm disabled to screen share.
Well, and Jessica just put in the chat, which, again, is not part.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah, I'll say them out loud. I would recommend you go to that profile. Thank you, Jessica. My notes are out of order. I meant to share that, too. It's nice. There are pictures and, like, stories. It was what people wrote to apply. So we filled Arts and Sciences, College of Engineering, Cornell Agritech, which we haven't had somebody there for a while, Cornell Tech, Exempt Employees, Veterans Rep, Women's Rep, Division of HR, Alumni Affairs and Development Rep, and University Relations and Central Admin.
Which is fabulous. And Jeremy, we're excited that you are now the Veterans Rep.
Yay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Do we have any other, the one thing I can say is I had a colleague ready to go that representing facilities and campus services, and he missed the deadline. So depending on the situation, if you choose to have a fall elections, I think there's a number of people that are interested in that time frame.
I think you're right. I was also contacted the day after by somebody who missed the deadline. So that is something we certainly can bring up in the fall.
Great.
Yeah.
Kit.
I just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to Anise and the rest of the elections committee for putting this together. You know, we just see, me personally, I'm just seeing the results, but I realized there were, you know, all the behind the scenes work that you did, and I want to recognize you for that.
Thank you. And thank you for recognizing my committee, which was great. I would zip out these things and say, please tell me what you think in 2 days or less. And they were all on it, which I really appreciated. Because if you don't respond, then I make it up myself and just. So I like people giving me some feedback. So yeah, it was good. It's a good experience.
Well, again, the 2 years in a row, you've done incredible work. Anise, and want to make sure that it's recognized and appreciated, and I'm beyond excited that you have a number of new folks as well as returning folks that are interested in serving, and so that's important. Yes, Wendy, your hand was up.
Yeah, I just have a really quick question, and here goes my nitpicking from when I work in the Office of the Assemblies. In our bylaws, under section 1.3, organizational meeting, it actually states, and it might just be because of the election or whatever, but it does say that the organizational meeting to occur as soon as possible after the conclusion of employee elections, but no later than April 15th. So we missed that day. So I don't know if that's either we need to possibly amend our bylaws to say no later than the first May meeting, whatever it might be. But also, the new members need to be aware that their term doesn't officially start until June 1st, because the terms of the session go from June 1st to May 31st. That's it.
Jessica, are you responding to that? Is it?
Yes. Okay. From my experience in the past, I think there's contradictory info in the governing documents, and we almost never meet that date, Wendy. So you're right. Someday, somebody, some term, should try to update the calendar. But yes, that is in there.
Okay.
And we will invite this office will send invitations to the new members to the organizational meeting, which takes place at the end of the May 3rd EA meeting, and anything else you need us to do.
Great, thank you. Kit.
Oh, next, alrighty, okay. I'm responding to Wendy and Jessica's comments. I know from my time on the exec and just being in the employee assembly, I think overall, and with Jessica coming into the role, I do believe that there is opportunity down the road to examine the timeline for employee assembly terms, elections, all of that good stuff. So I think right now we're kind of in a holding pattern, but it definitely seems like the timelines can be re-reviewed.
Great. Marcy.
Yeah, I feel like this happens every year. And we need to, like, not have a date there or something and just have it be, like, the second to last meeting or the last meeting of the assembly. But we always do this too late before it's, you know, because we have to vote on it. So maybe put a pin on that and let's do that early next year.
Yes. I think that's important to talk about. Christy.
I would add in that we have talked a few times about changing the language on committee membership to a minimum requirement of participation, not a maximum requirement of participation. So if we're going to get into editing the document, we might want to include a flag that we should look at that as well.
That's incredibly important. And it's one of those things that, again, with voting members versus members and all of that, I think that's a perfect opportunity for the new exec and to talk about that in the coming term. Wendy?
Right. No, I totally echo all of this, and I think it will definitely be something that we could approach and discuss as the new term starts. The other thing also to keep in mind is with timing is once we get the new exec in, it also has to tie in with the university assembly, their last meeting, because whoever is, I mean, by default, Andrea as chair currently is on the university assembly. So we also have to be mindful of that as well with timelines. But I do like Marcy's idea of maybe, you know, the first when, you know, the first meeting of May or whatever it might be. When you tie in a date, it kind of does get a little funky. So.
But did you not say, Wendy, that the term starts June 1st?
The term does start June 1st. That's how okay. all of the assemblies are. All assemblies, their terms end May 31st. The new term and the new members start their terms June 1st.
Right. And so the university, the last meeting of the university assembly is May 9th.
Correct. So that's what I'm saying is we have to have our organizational meeting, which we are doing on May 3rd, by before the last meeting of the university assembly. Because whoever is going to be the incoming executive chair of the EA needs to attend that meeting on May 9th because the university assembly will then, they should have all of their new members from all of the assemblies. They then set their executive board for the upcoming term. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, Jessica, but that was my understanding of how it works. So, because the student assembly, the grad professional student assembly, all of the assemblies should have their new executive board in place to at least have either the president or chair be in attendance at the last meeting of the university assembly so that they can set their peep for the coming year.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that didn't happen last year because I remember I was never notified that I needed to attend a university assembly meeting as the incoming chair. So I never participated in that. So
right.
It is
a crunch and there are timelines and there's a lot of juggling that has to go on. That's why all of the other assemblies, the student assembly, grad professional student assembly and our assembly, we have to have our elections done and people like our, the GPSA and the SA actually vote in their president and executive vice president. We have this organizational meeting where we then nominate and appoint whoever the chair is, but that all has to be done before that last UA meeting so that all of the incoming exec boards are at that UA meeting.
Okay.
A lot of moving pieces. We're flying the plane while it's being built, you know.
Well, it's good to note, and thank you, Wendy, for continuing to keep us sort of on task and acknowledge all of that, because, again, you have an insight that there isn't currently, even though Jessica is, you know, jumping in with both feet, but with her and Kate now managing Katie now managing the process while Eric is away being a new dad. I think that's where, you know, any and all help, Wendy, is certainly welcomed. The next item on our agenda was to talk about resolution number 2, the requesting the university provide funds for an MD gynecologist at Cornell Health. The difficulty is we do not have quorum, but we can certainly discuss it. Christy?
Thank you. I wanted to call to the attention of those here, and for the record, those not here, Cornell Chronicle article April 10th, Cornell Health while Cornell Partnership to Support Students. I'll put the link in the chat for others to reference. It appears that the work of the other assemblies have resulted in some really positive movement with the university partnering with Cornell while to provide enhanced services for the students, including in the third paragraph, discussion about OBGYN services.
Oh, I had not seen this article. Had others seen it? No, thank you for sharing this.
We can thank Ruth. She was on task while I was away, so she alerted me.
Which is great. Okay, so given this, does it change the perspective? This was brought to the EA for discussion by the Welfare Committee. What's the status of that for us? I can't remember. We presented it and we had a lot of discussion. I don't know if we are, if we even had quorum, if we're in a point where we needed votes or additional discussion. I guess we'll call to a public comment or any other comment by EA members to discuss this. Christy.
I would offer, not as chair of the committee, because we have not talked about this since our last meeting. Our meeting was in conflict with the summit, so we didn't meet this past week. But as a member, I feel that the work that was done by the university has addressed or has begun to address the needs, and that the construct of us approving a resolution in order to get this issue in front of the board isn't true anymore. So that if the goal was to get the issue addressed, it seems to be addressed. And so I wouldn't be as supportive of the resolution as I had been in the past.
Great. Thank you for that, Marcy.
I also agree. I think perhaps a response to the other assemblies, and especially the sponsors of the resolution, to just let them know that, you know, as a result of all their hard work and efforts, and they actually physically did bring it to the executive board of the trustees at the meeting, that it's no longer really needed, and to just acknowledge all the hard work that they did. And Christy, I'm not sure if you heard that it's not true that you need to have it pass all of the assemblies for it to go to the Board of Trustees. That was like a falsehood, or whatever you want to call it. but yeah, that's only if it's a... if it has to do with the trust, if it has to do with the budget or the, what's the word?
Divestment.
Yes, thank you.
Divestment, yes.
Yep. And that's why it, in the past, went to the board after it passed all of the assemblies. But yes, I'm also in agreement. I don't think we need the resolution anymore. And just a response to the sponsors of the original.
Great. I mean, I think we would facilitate additional discussion. Is there, the floor is still open to any other discussions, any other perspective? But given the fact that we can't even bring in this to a vote, then I think we will just continue to pass on it. I'll talk to the others that had brought this to us at the EA to be able to indicate where we're going. Yes, Kit?
I just wanted to acknowledge I am in agreement with what's been discussed just now. I think that makes sense.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other discussion? Are folks okay with us just sort of letting it lie? We can't even act on it in terms of a vote. So it's sort of we're in a a funky sort of middle ground here to be able to do that. The next item on our agenda is Jessica, having you talk a little bit about the Out of the Darkness walk, not necessarily as the lead for the Office of the Assembly, the director of the Office of the Assemblies, but I think you provided a quick presentation at the University Assembly, which I think is incredibly helpful and powerful, and we were wondering if you could do that as well.
Thank you. I'm better prepared this time. So thank you for giving me a few minutes to talk. My best friend Denise Hubbard is here with me. Denise and I, our lives have both been affected by suicide and suicidal ideation among people we love. And so for several years, we have participated in the Out of the Darkness community walk in Lansing. And last fall, we were asked to help set up the first ever Out of the Darkness suicide awareness walk on campus. So we've been working on that. Denise has been much more active than me because my new job meant I don't have a lot of capacity. So we're reaching out to all the assemblies just to let you know that we will have the first ever Out of the Darkness campus walk sponsored. Well, it's part of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's campus walk organization. It will be on Sunday, April 30th. Events begin at 11 a.m. on the Ag Quad. The walk itself will begin at noon. Denise put a couple of links in chat for you. This is an official university recognized event, so there's an event listing. We are sponsored by Kate Dupron's office. Thank you, Kate, for your help with that. There's also a link there to the AFSP page for Cornell Campus Walk. If you go there, you can see the teams, you can register for a team, you can donate to any one of us. Denise and I are on the FCL group. I can't remember the exact name, but we're both there. And we want, one, to bring awareness to the walk itself. If people want to join us, if people just want to show up and walk, if you want to be a team or a member, if you want to volunteer or be at one of the resource tables, we'll have some campus resources available. But we also really want this to become an annual event. So the more people that know about it and that know, even if you can't participate this year, if you watch next year or help in the future or get the word out, particularly to students, that would be great. Denise, do you want to add anything?
There we go. There's that. No, Jessica, you summed it up really well. I think there's a lot of opportunity to participate and give a hand. So if you have any interest outside of this short presentation, you know, you can reach out to Jessica, and Jessica or I can connect you with some of the people that we've been working with on campus and the person who is most involved with our region for AFSP itself, Karen Heisig. So, yeah, we hope that some of you can make it out.
The other thing I'll add, you just reminded me of something, Denise. And, most of the committee that's putting this walk together is made up of staff. So as this is the employee assembly, I thought I would mention that. And we've been trying to do tabling events around campus, but as you all know, staff members have limited time. So I don't think we've been terribly successful in that. We've had a few, but not a ton of them. So Denise and I will put our net IDs in the chat just in case you want to reach out to us. And then I simply want to wrap it up by reminding you that it's really easy for someone who's struggling to feel like no one cares. Mm-hmm. So if you would just make sure people know they're not alone.
And I believe, just to follow up, I believe there is a tabling event. Is it the vet school this Friday, Jess?
I thought it was last Friday.
It may have been last Friday. You might be right.
See?
See? Yes, exactly. We knew that one was happening in April. Yeah. Yep. But there'll be lots of information, and there's tons of stuff on the website. So please take a look.
Thank you.
Remind us the date of the walk again.
April 30th. It's a Sunday. Ag Quad. Events at 11, walk at noon.
And do we know, I know I keep asking this question, but do we know the route? Yeah.
I asked the co-chairs. They know they need to make sure it's accessible. I told them you would want to know today, and their response was, I drove the walk path the other day, and there are no stairs, and there are ramps at every curb we cross. The entryway to the Ag Quad is a ramp. I think that makes it accessible. Let me know if not. I did share the accessibility map with her in a meeting, but I'm not sure if we've actually laid it on the map.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. Any other questions? Thank you, Denise and Jessica, for bringing this to us. We really greatly appreciate it. We hope that it's very successful, and especially bringing it to light of it being directed by our employees, as well as addressing such an important aspect of it for our community. So thank you both. The next item that we put on the agenda, Marcy and I were talking about it back and forth, and it was Jeremy had asked our EA exec to share the UA resolution number 7, the right to protest. And I'd gotten some questions from folks who were like, is this going to be an EA resolution? And the answer is no, this is not something. But I think Jeremy's point of making sure that our constituencies are aware of it, I think is one other piece. And we put it on the agenda for some additional discussion. I didn't know, Jeremy, if you had any interest in discussing it, something from your perspective.
Sure. I just wanted to quickly point out it officially was moved to be put out for public feedback. So it was opened up for public comment. Part of letting our constituencies know that it's there and available for public comment is just making folks aware that their input is being sought. So it's not that it's going to come through the EA as a resolution, but it's that it's there for the university as a whole to respond with their thoughts. And since I was in the meeting with that, if anybody has any questions about it, I'm happy to answer what I can.
Any questions? Okay. But thank you for bringing it forward. And I think that's the ongoing discussions. And I appreciate very much, Jeremy, your willingness to...
Public comment's a little less common. So sometimes, it might not be familiar to some folks that is an option with resolutions that contain content that you're interested in getting more general feedback on, that submitting it for public comment is an option.
Great. Thank you. We're going to jump on. We've got 10 more minutes before Sarah Carson joins us to jump right into some committee reports. Marcy? There was a puppy? You need to explain that.
There was a puppy.
Report.
I had to give it some loving, so I wasn't paying fully attention. I'm sorry.
Okay. There you go. That is the job benefit as well as the detraction of working at the veterinary college, correct?
Important priorities.
Exactly. It's babies and puppies. Usually it brings people out of their office in droves, certainly. Okay. Marcy, do you want to talk about exec?
Yes, so we've done all of the planning for this meeting, and then the next meeting will be more of a getting the new members situated and also discussing making sure that there's still advertisements and publicity for the April 28th forum with Christine Lovely. That'll be at noon, a webinar. So, yep, hopefully more information will be getting out there, getting the word out. But that's pretty much what we've been doing. Yes.
Great. Jackie, with communications, outreach, and recognition.
I'm sorry,
Anise.
My hand is, I have to change my backdrop because you can't see my hand. My hand was raised. I wanted to ask, Marcy, is there a link you could share for Christine Lovely's talk, and I will put it in my Slack at work at eCornell.
Yeah, yep, I'll find it. Jessica,
just put it in the chat.
Good one, and I'll find it and put it in chat. Yes.
Thank you.
Jackie. Okay.
Jackie, if you wanted to go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just following up. I know I should be on this, but are we submitting it to the faculty and staff news?
I think that was our understanding. As well. I saw that just came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It comes out weekly during the semester, so we're still okay.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if I said I was going to do that. Or Jackie was going to do that. I saw it this morning and thought, was I supposed to do something?
Yeah. I think we can certainly talk about
that. We can go offline. Okay.
Yeah. Jessica? Your hand was raised.
I typically do that, Kate, for the assemblies.
Excellent. Thank you.
Jackie sent me an email this morning, and I've been doing election stuff all morning, so I have not looked at it yet, but I will follow up with Jackie after, hopefully this afternoon.
Okay, thanks. I'll try to get my hand to come down.
All right, Jackie. Are you ready?
So I can just respond to all of that. I sent a draft of the announcement from the email builder, but I wasn't involved in the planning this year, so my contribution will be less than the past two chairs. I just basically have information that was emailed to me, so I created a draft, and I've deferred to the Jessica and the OA to manage the communication around that, so I don't have final details, but I've at least started that process. The other thing that was on my list was that I was going to include a spotlight in the EA voice, which I sent a draft of what that looks like to Jessica and in potential timing for that, so she can manage the communication about the staff forum around that information. So since I mentioned the EA voice, I will go in a little bit more detail about that. I am not going to include the Title IX talk, which I was reworking about an exec meeting about doing that, but it was covered by the Cornell Sun, and I don't know that it's necessary for us to include in a spotlight in it for our last issue. And so I do plan on including the staff forum as Andrea had wanted me to do. And an update on the events that were postponed for the Neurodiversity Celebration Week. So there was that closure from the university because of weather. So a couple events were postponed and they're being rescheduled for next week. So I put that in the EA voice. And I will confirm there was another spotlight I was actually going to do from a former meeting from the Welfare Committee. The Master Gardener Volunteer Program, that was something that was discussed back in November. I sent an email to that person to confirm about that being spotlighted, but if I don't hear back, I don't want to put that in unless I have information. So if it's possible, that will not be included, but hopefully I'll respond back. We can include that. And then what was covered today's meeting, which I'll try to put together as soon as possible so they can get a draft out for review by this week so that we can send it out. We can push out the publication either Friday or latest early Monday so that we can catch all the events that are coming up. Yeah, that covers the EA Voice. The awards committee, subcommittee has been, they just met last week, I think, or was it this week? My time is blurring together. They have selected a winner for the award for staff integrity and inclusion. They just this morning, actually right before this meeting, they sent a confirmation to the nominators. They're going to do a whole process, so I don't want to say who it is yet because there's a lot more that goes into that, so I'm going to keep that under wraps for now, and it will not be announced in the newsletter, although Kristen said that she will try to get me an update for the awards for the newsletter, so hopefully we can get that in before the voice goes out. And she wants to plug, hopefully, the George Peter Award, which will be happening in the fall. So that will be under whoever the new Vice Chair of Communications will be managing, so Kristen will be the lead on that, but she'll work with myself over summer as we sort of wrap up the spring awards and the new vice chair for communications for the George Peter, which is going to happen relatively soon after the semester starts. So that's an update on that. And let's see. I am still working on the priorities poll. I'm not going to make any promises, but I do hope to get some information out. It will not be publicized. It'll just be for basically the whoever I'm able to communicate with on the employee assembly. I did meet with a data scientist to assist me with that, but it is still taking a very long time. So we'll see how far that gets. I'll send an update while I'm still able to. And I did hope to have at least one more meeting of CORC before the end of the term, and I wanted to invite University Relations, and actually he suggested I invited Jessica so we can talk about best practices for the EA Voice. And then I'll hopefully provide some information in a transferable way to the next vice chair for communications for the next semester. I basically made some executive decisions based on information I received through other people, and I was hoping to get some more official advice so that the next person can be better informed on what they should be doing going forward. And that's all. One more thing. Since I'm just still talking, I'll talk about the Faculty Senate meeting. It was actually relatively short. And the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because President Pollack came to speak at the beginning, and she did cover some of the stuff that Christy had mentioned. So I didn't have anything to add to that. But I did want to mention that she talked about how it is, in addition to the probably might be covered in some of the articles that I haven't yet read, but it's really difficult for a specialist to be to hold a practice here because we don't have enough customers basically to keep that person in practice. So that was one of the challenges with getting an OBGYN here. And she did mention that there would be a partnership with the Cornell Medicine to do radiology, psychiatry, and gynecology, I think, but the article probably has more details on that. And let's see. Yeah, so general health can't sustain specialists is my notes. Expanding relationship with Weill Cornell Medicine, and then psychiatry, radiology, and gynecology were topics that she brought up. And then the rest of the meeting was basically faculty stuff. I'll have more to report on that for later on today. And that's all I have.
I just, as a point of discussion, received some information today from Linda Kroll Howell, and they would like to come and present some data based on the HR survey and wanted to try to do it before the end of the term, when I'm like, well, we've got one more meeting, and that's usually chock full. So I was trying to get a sense of what that would be. HR does want to present some information based on some things that they have, and there will be an element of the discussion that will go over that at the employee forum that Christine Lovely will have as the primary person, but then also Linda Crowhowell and Michelle Arteby are also going to be featured on that forum talking about certain aspects of well-being and the data. So I just wanted to let you all know, I just that found out that this morning. So it sort of ties into trying to figure out our data and the information that we were looking to share. We still do not have Sarah Carson with us, so we're going to just plug ahead. Education committee, I think, again, with that is still open. I think that will be something that hopefully will fill for the next next term. But Christy, do you want to talk about welfare committee?
I don't really feel like I have any updates. Again, we canceled our last meeting. It was in conflict with the summit. And the meeting before, we had passed forward the resolution. There are some open discussion items that we'll carry forward to the next meeting.
Okay. Great. Kit. Well, first of all, let me stop you. It's Sarah Carson. We just saw you come on. Thank you for joining us. We're just wrapping up a couple of things with our committee reports. And then we'll introduce you and allow you for your presentation. Kit.
Hi, again. the BPC canceled its meeting yesterday due to conflicts with everyone's schedule, some of them also with the Inclusive Excellence Summit. And that all that as well, the resolution that we had been drafting, encouraging the administration to reinstate summer 2023 Employee Appreciation Days is on hold right now, based on information I received, that Christine Lovely will be addressing this at the April 28th forum. And actually, I was not sure if that was open to staff yesterday, but yesterday I did. I think, Andrea, you let me know it is open to all staff. Is this being advertised? Like, is this intended to be a forum similar to the COVID era staff forum where everyone's in? Okay, I see heads shaking. Okay, that's great. Yep. I will definitely.
Well, and if you see the events, a link that Jessica sent that talks about the those, that's all available for distribution. We are
okay. I do have that open, the staff forum with Christine Lovely.
Yep, it is okay. It is based on we've had the COVID era, and it's really a great opportunity to hear directly from Christine Lovely.
Yes, definitely. And thank you. I feel a little bad that I didn't realize you were putting that together in that sense, something to present to the university staff community at the broad scale. But thank you for that, and I will definitely communicate that with folks to attend.
Great. Anise, do you have anything else to add to your update?
I do not. No, I just have a quick question about Christine Lovely because I too want to share that staff forum. This is one where people will be able to bring their own questions, and if there's time, okay, cool, thanks.
Yep, there'll be questions. It's all Zoom format. Questions will be managed by our EA staff or EA members. I think there a couple of people have offered to help facilitate that. So yeah, so it will be open. Jackie?
Actually, since that came up, I just want to confirm we're not taking questions in advance. Is that correct? Okay, it's that correct. Was something that on the previous forum, and I had taken that part out because that was my understanding. I just wanted to confirm that that was still true.
Yeah, Ashley Fazio, I confirmed that with her. We heard directly from Christine Lovely that's the case, but I also confirmed it with Ashley Fazio. She will be taking questions live. So let's all be kind. That's hopeful that it's kind and considerate. But she's going to be talking about, you know, 6 months in, you know, to her her time here with us, and hopefully we'll be all good. At this point in time, yes, Jeremy.
Just one, it's kind of a last minute thought that just popped into my head now, but might be worth some conversation. So I volunteer providing some tech for the ADI internship internship program, and they're getting kind of ramped up with getting information out to staff about internships. That might be somebody good to hear from, and maybe we can help get the word out once there's something official to share. I just want to throw that out there as an idea.
Okay. I think it would be great. Not as part of the forum, but part of our
community. Yes, sorry. Changing topic. My brain went someplace else all of a sudden.
No, I just want to make sure I understood completely. Thank you for that,
Jeremy. Apropos of absolutely nothing. Tangential.
Okay. At this point in time, I would like to introduce my my colleague and friend, Sarah Carson, who is the director of the Campus Sustainability Office. She is, we're in the same lovely building, the Humphrey Service Building on campus, which is just not the prettiest building on campus, but we have a lot of fun people within the Humphrey Service Building as part of Facilities and Campus Services. So Sarah, we appreciate you coming. We appreciate your flexibility and still, based on your schedule, coming and seeing us at the latter part of our meeting. But the floor is yours. We love to hear what's happening, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, and I'm very happy to participate. And right back at you, appreciate your flexibility of sharing me in here. All right. I do have some slides. Okay. Have I successfully shared a slide? Yeah, I'm getting partly down the speech and then realizing I forgot to share something. But I think there's few enough folks that if you have questions, just jump in. Otherwise, I'll just keep going with a kind of a general update on sustainability and climate action and energy transition. Unless folks have some questions right up front that you want to give me a clue, I'll make sure I can address those. Okay. Well, here we go. So I'm here representing the Sustainable Cornell Council, as well as the Campus Sustainability Office. So that's my team. There are...
this moment, allow...
Whoop, does someone have a... Okay, must have been a mute look. So we're in the facilities group. We report up through Birdland in the Energy and Sustainability Department, and then on up to Refurgis and Facilities, and finally up through Joanna Stefano, our current EVP. So interestingly, my team doesn't really have operational control of anything, and our mission, therefore, is to equip, empower, and engage everybody else to transform the campus. And we do that through promoting the sustainability framework that we lovingly call the quadruple bottom line, trying to operationalize sustainability through decision-making, things that everyone, everywhere, all at once can do with pretty much any, you know, decision choice project you're doing. We have lots of tools available, and we'll spend a lot of time on it today because I think you've probably all seen this bit before, I hope, but we'd like to ask whatever we're doing, supporting a sustainable planet, a just and healthy place for people, institutional and regional prosperity, and finally, is it helping us serve our academic and grant purpose? So if we just take a moment to think through all of these things, we think we can at least be making decisions that are making things for us in any one of these areas. So our team in that role supports the broader Sustainable Cornell Council, which is our cross-campus governance structure. There's a representative from the University Assembly on each one of these steering committees, and therefore also kind of representing the employee assembly, as well as staff folks. I'm getting in trouble with all of my mentors on how to make slides without font smaller than size 20, but I'll talk you through the important bits here. So we kind of borrowed from student clubs, and our leadership team is actually kind of an e-board made up of the leaders of these steering committees, but we looked at the work that we want to get done, what campus priorities are, what kind of organization we would need to help that happen. We thought it was really important, and this is reflected in the leadership of these groups, to have both a senior staff and a senior academic person on the roles, and then filled out with representatives from shared governance, from students, from the Atkinson Center, and also other faculty and staff who happen to know about the topics being discussed. So then the co-chairs, of these three groups then are pulled up to serve on the leadership team. So it's currently Lyndon Archer, Dean of the College of Engineering, Bert Glenn, who's the AVP of Energy and Sustainability, leading our Carbon Neutral Campus Steering Committee, Rick Burgess, our Facilities Vice President, and Pat Wynn, Associate Vice President of Student Campus Life, leading our Campus Operations Team, and Catherine McComas, Vice Provost for Outreach and Land Grant, and Catherine Board, leading the grad school, leading the Education Engagement Crew. Those folks all serve on our leadership team, along with ex officio folks, including budget, legal, Joe Molina, Vice President of University Relations. And in any case, we feel like this has been a pretty effective structure, leveraging some of the great science and minds and leadership on the academic side with the ability of facilities folks to get things done. So we've had some big wins and some current exciting projects in each of those groups. The steering committees take a look at what's happening across campus versus where we want to be, versus information from our external reporting and our key metrics. And then they have the ability to charge working groups where things aren't happening, at a level that we want them to meet our institutional goals, or things that just really need an institutional approach. So, for example, the Education Engagement Steering Committee is still working on incoming student climate literacy, although a few years ago we did institute mission sustainability as a module in the to-do list. So almost all of our incoming students go through this process, some educational videos, and then a quantitative survey about their sort of sustainability knowledge, and then some more qualitative data about their thoughts and beliefs. Really interesting point from that, the last 2 years that we've done this, 99.9% of students coming in when asked if their level of concern about the environment report some level of concern, with the majority of those being moderately to extremely concerned. The flip side of that is the follow-up question is their perception of how concerned they think their peers at Cornell are, and I'll say it another way. They all underestimate how concerned everybody else is, which has been a really interesting data point in how we approach them with our sort of engagement and education and peer education programs. It's a lot easier to talk to people when you feel some sense of being on the same page. So in case that's been a really interesting and worthwhile project, and we're going to have some published research coming out of it as well. Our behavior change and choice architecture. That sounds a little manipulative. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm just trying to make things like, the classic taking away the trays in the dining hall, reduce food waste by a double-digit percentage just because you can't take as much at once. There was no limits on what people could take or eat. We just couldn't get as much at once, reduce the eyes bigger than the stomach, so things like that. Living Lab program, and then we do have a low carbon business travel and near travel carbon offsets program coming up. You can find that on our website, but also I believe tomorrow our quarterly Sustainable Cornell Council newsletter is coming out, and there'll be a story and there'll be some more information about participating in a pilot, as well as there's a survey that we're really interested in folks' data to help inform how we could reduce the carbon emissions associated with travel. So please have a look for that. Question?
Okay, go ahead.
The Campus Operations Steering Committee currently working on purchasing and inventory optimization. Ongoing work forever with the dining group on food waste reduction. They use a really great framework called the Menus of Change, which is lots more of those kind of interesting choice architecture strategies like taking away the trays and really studying how much of what kind of food waste there has been and feeding that back into their process of meal planning and being able to better match and predict what students will eat, what they won't eat, and when, cut back on food waste in that way as well. Trying to support food rescue programs too. And then in partnership with academics on campus and student groups, actually, in both cases, we've done an interesting analysis of our supply chain emissions and the kind of carbon impacts that is having. And that's at the point where it's helping us identify some intervention points, perhaps some systems-level choice architecture changes, as well as behavior change around people making purchasing decisions, and a sustainability dashboard in partnership with students. The Carbon Neutral Campus Steering Committee. We're working through, this says updating the Climate Action Plan. And it's more of as our 2035 deadline approaches, particularly on the energy transition slide side of the house, and I've got some more information on this later, specifically for really what projects that we're doing and when, and with what budget, and what timeline, as well as, understanding that, sliding into the next bullet here, the supplemental district energy technologies, so if we're no longer making all of our own heat, well, we'll be making our own heat according to the plan, but if we're not making grid power and we're a grid customer, do we have sufficient backup power? What kind of balance of baseload heating source versus like a peak source, makes sense, and is it an efficient, reliable way to do things? Which leads me to the next slide, evaluating whether hydrogen has some role in that, probably on the supplemental or emergency side. This is just a look at feasibility, what's out there, what's possible. We have a land-based carbon sinks working group going. This is actually really exciting. So we have our academic friends who are studying strategies around forestry, forest management, afforestation, habitat restoration, different agricultural practices, and the kinds of carbon management that are possible on our 23,000 acres. There's another story again that is coming out tomorrow about that one simple thing that everyone can actually do if you just set your lawnmower an inch higher. Not only are you mowing less, but your grass grows a little bit slower and you have a much healthier sort of soil and sort of organism environment as a result. So lots more information in that story in the newsletter for that tomorrow. As well, the Earth Source Heat project with the KUBO, the Cornell University Boyle Observatory, which was drilled this summer, and hopefully everyone has seen all the news and town halls around that, continuing to advance our renewable electric portfolio. This has been a little bit of a dance with the changing policy and regulations both at the local and state level, but we're still on it. Got some projects in the hopper. As well, another Living Lab project with our academic friends. So not only looking at what are the emissions from our supply chain, but other indirect emissions, both from things that are upstream of campus, downstream of campus, like our waste, things of that nature. So that's good summary of the work that's happening there. Breaking news, it'll be announced in the newsletter tomorrow, but turns out we got another platinum rating from the STARS system. I think a bunch of you on this call maybe help us collect that data if you are one of our SMEs or subject matter experts. Thank you very much. This is the sort of international higher ed sustainability rating system. And this is the interactive part of the show here. There are several categories within STARS, and I want to just hit you with some highlights. Can anyone guess how much we have reduced our greenhouse gas emissions since our 2008 baseline as of last count? Anyone? Unmute, yell it out, chat it.
50%.
Yay! you're actually right. Good job.
You did not cheat. It definitely, I did not come to your office and ask for that question.
Because I just finished the slide.
Oh, perfect.
some other interesting facts. Top 10 in carbon reductions among our peers, so size and research, and most reduction in our climate zone. Heating this joint is a challenge. All right, in the academics and research category, how many students engage with campus sustainability through living lab initiatives every year?
Let's try 70%.
Who can tell me what percent of 20,000 is 6,000? A lot. We do a lot of work, either as sort of clubs or classes, class projects, or our peer-to-peer education programs. Our students are just so great in helping us expand the amount of work we can do. Okay, campus operations. How many tons of food waste do we compost annually?
Tons?
Yeah, tons.
Did you say tons of food waste that has been reduced or what?
That we compost.
In a year?
Yeah.
I'll say 10.
Okay. It's a lot more. Anyone else want to guess? Oh, dear. What is happening? Okay. Well, in the interest of time, I will just tell you it's about 800 tons of food waste, and we compost nearly 4,000 tons of other egg waste every year, so that's a lot. All right. In the culture and engagement category, yes or no question. Softball here. Is there a map where you can locate campus sustainability resources and features?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of course there is. all kinds of things, from bike partnering, parking, to reuse, to where all renewables are generated. It's a super fun resource, so we're really, really proud of our campus STARS performance, and like I said, since my team doesn't actually control anything, all credit comes out to the rest of campus for these accomplishments. Should I keep going? Or folks want to stop and ask questions? The rest of my slides are about the Climate Action Plan and some of our energy transition specifics.
Sure.
Okay. Keep going. All right, so hope you all know we have a goal to be carbon neutral by 2035. It's not only this net zero business, but our commitment actually includes climate literacy for being integrated in the curriculum and expanding research. As you just saw on the last slide, we are in fact doing those things. There's some interesting new external drivers. As New York State residents, hopefully you're all aware of the New York State Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which sets a goal for our state to be carbon neutral by 2050. specific goals around electricity generation. And another question for you. So I'm going to show you what the state, New York State greenhouse gas inventory looks like. And I want you to guess. You can use your real hand or your fake Zoom hand. Your choices are biggest source of emissions in the state. Your choices will be electricity, transportation, waste, or buildings. Okay, so show of hands, who thinks it's electricity? Who thinks it's transportation? All right, how about waste? Buildings. All right. Kate was the only hand I noticed. Yeah, buildings have it by a tiny bit. There's not a shake out statewide. If anybody cares, IPPU is industrial processes and product use. Those are some of the top things actually to decarbonize. But at Cornell, what we measure, we don't measure all of the same things that go into that full carbon footprint of New York State. There are some reasons why an entity like Cornell measures different things. But our greenhouse gas emissions, we set the baseline in 2008, include on-site direct emissions, so that's the gas we burn in the heating plant, Bunsen burners, tractors, and combustion containers, basically, as well as refrigerants. Purchase electricity, so we do buy some grid power, and we account for those emissions. Daily commuting by all of us, and students, our air travel. And then we back off from our totals. We export some power to the grid. So we account for the gas that we burned. Oops, I'll use this. And then we back out the power that we send because somebody else is taking that account on their emissions. The protocols are established. I did not make that up. And our solar farms. Again, according to the protocol, because our solar farms are off-site, we show that as a somebody else didn't burn gas because of our solar, so we show that as a deduction. This is just the sort of protocols, and then on net, about 50%. Nicely, Wendy, have a question.
Yeah, actually, I just have a really quick question, then I do have to hop off as well. I don't live in Ithaca. As you, a lot of staff members don't live in Ithaca, so there are a lot of people that are driving in. I have tried to utilize using the bus as an option. However, in recent years, whether it be budgetary or just lack of participation, those bus things have been kind of dissolved. And I'm just wondering what can we do or what can your office do to help kind of promote that? Or, I mean, is there less emissions from a bus than there is from 20 cars coming into campus? Like, have you looked at those numbers or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Part of what makes this what folks call a wicked problem, right? There aren't any, like, obvious, easy, immediate strategies. So let me just jump ahead. One slide. It's a partial answer to your question. We do recognize that there are going to be some emissions that we probably aren't going to be able to eliminate by our 2035 goal, and those do include primarily those transportation-related emissions for some of the reasons that you cited. So our plan does include some carbon sinks and sequestration. I'm intentionally not using the word offsets because we want to do things differently on the land that Cornell manages to kind of account for that in the near term. But longer term, we definitely recognize that Cornell is part of a, this is the first slide to see if I had a good example. I'll just talk. So we're part of a bigger region state, right? And we know that things are changing both with the climate law and specifically around transportation, the availability of something other than a single occupancy vehicle, even if it's electric, right, or some sort of zero emission fuel, We only have so much personal choice within the systems that we operate, right? So, yes, continuing to partner with TCAT and like regional transportation systems to make better options for folks who live farther away. That's ongoing hard work, but with the new state plan law and the implementation plan with some of the new federal Inflation Reduction Act funds, we hope that those things can continue in partnership with others in the region, as well our internal combustion engine vehicles are on their way out, sort of slow roll, and as that is happening, we are also going to be working with regional partners figuring out the EV charging situation. I am someone who has a plug-in hybrid. I can only make it one way, coming to and from work. I feel your pain, and would love suggestions and ideas as well. But yeah, very much aware that that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Just wanted to stop. We're losing folks.
We're out of time.
We are at time. Can we just say if people have additional questions to contact you, or is there a call to extend the meeting?
People are welcome to contact me. I'm on a minute by minute today. And I am available to stay a little bit longer. I'm happy to. That's useful.
Is there a motion to extend, or do folks have to run? All right. Well, with folks having to leave, Sarah, could you just share in the chat your email? That ID to contact you for more. I think the next step in the conversation is really the collaboration with the Employee Assembly for the future, to have more discussions about how the EA can support some of the ongoing efforts for the Campus Sustainability Office and partnerships maybe in the next term of the EA, to have you come and talk about what employees might be able to do to help support your goals.
Yeah, that would be great. And I can say on the Sustainable Campus website, let me just stop sharing here, there is a section for employee resources, which is helpful to look at, but I'll be there to reconnect. And thank that was the majority of the presentation.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Sarah, for just an incredible presentation. We always appreciate it. I've been on the EA for a long time, and you always provide great insights for us. I think the next step is to talk about any type of actionable things and things that we can help distribute to our constituencies in whatever way we can continue to do that to support you. So thank you for coming. Thank you all for hanging in there for the last couple of minutes. And our last meeting of the term is on May 3rd. We will welcome our new folks that are joining us. Say goodbye to all of the folks that are not continuing on the EA, and seat our next executive committee and committee chairs. So we look forward to that being a great productive meeting at the next meeting. Thank you all. Bye.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.